welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 257. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, I've had a bunch of checks going on. Just working with a different room or space in the house. So just more spacious and getting the acoustics right and properly. I don't know how well this one is going to come out. More editing is going to happen, but I'm back, guys. It feels like it's been a while, and it honestly has been a while that I've gotten a chance to record anything at all. So last week I got to put out a replay for you guys, and I hope you guys liked it. I could have let the silent issue run a little bit longer, but I came across a good one that I thought people that, you know, are still new to the show might like, especially it deals with the deep dives and rabbit holes aspect of everything. All right, anyways, lots of curveballs, lots of fucking curveballs the past few weeks. Geez, since March has just been nothing but an ass kicker every fucking day, every week. I finally had some time to take a vacation, legit vacation this past weekend. I had a 4-day weekend and I went to San Diego. The last time I went to San Diego, every time I go to San Diego is strictly for work. So even though everyone thinks San Diego Comic Con is strictly fun, I see a lot of cool shit. I meet a lot of fucking cool people. It's work and it's a grind. I love the fuck out of it, and it's just a different type of monster people don't know about. So being able to enjoy San Diego proper as is was fucking dope. So I'm back and I feel good. I finally get to record and I feel like I can finally scratch that fucking creativity itch. And here we go. Let's hit it. Let's scratch it. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 157, we entitled hashtag Beast of Babylon. I remember the title because I reviewed East of West, and that's when Babylon, one of the main characters in the story, kind of breaks out. It was a dope issue, so that's why we named it that. The crew is back in full force playing catch up with last week's Have You Seen Me guy. That I do not remember. We drop Twitter love and shoutouts, then start talking. Do you know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago? Dope. All right, so this must be the show where I finally introduced it, episode 157. I literally looked back 100 episodes ago and put up episode 57, and that's when I started breaking down, like, well, fuck it. If any of this sounds interesting, always go back to our catalog, and you guys can find the catalog at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. I know different podcast apps don't have the full catalog necessarily, but any place you can find us, I believe iTunes should have our full catalog as well, but always hit thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com if you guys want all our stuff on there. Just having little time, having to prioritize several websites became a bit of a hassle, coming from the guy that works just a little bit too much. Anyway, so very cool that's what I hit, along with NFL predictions week one and the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2016 contestants. Dope, dude. Those are always fun to do. So I started the podcast or up again 2 months into last year. Actually, no, 5 months. No, legit. So the timing is a little off on dates, but as far as, you know, the normal topics, they're always there. We hit What the Fuck News. Women charged over $30 million. In drug smuggle. We hit Jesus shit list. Woman kills quote-unquote possessed daughter by shoving crucifix down her throat. Then go into brief sex facts. Studies show beer could make you better in bed. I'll buy that. Then roll some comic talk. Comic news. Ben Affleck teases Deathstroke for Justice League. Bruce Lee-inspired Warrior pilot ordered by Cinemax. And Marvel's Nighthawk cancellation. Ooh, so I was the only one reading that. It normally happens that way when I enjoy something, reading something normally gets canceled. We had comic reviews, Ms. Marvel number 10, all new Wolverine annual number 1, Tokyo Ghost number 10, Outcast trade paperback review, and East of West number 29, and those were all books of the week. All right, that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. So bullet points. I literally wrote this out 2 weeks ago, so the news might be a little... It's not going to be news. I mean, it's going to be late news, and if you guys haven't heard these bits and, you know, pieces of news, then here you go. But the reviews hopefully will be dope for you guys. So the bullet points I normally hit, do I want to hit theater talk, crowd, non-crowd, idiots on the prowl, just for movies in general. So that happened, again, a few weeks ago when I wrote this up, so probably not. Here's an interesting bullet point. When I normally go on these trips, it's nothing but fucking full on music. It's a music trip. It's a music kick. If I'm by myself, I'll normally listen to just nothing but podcasts. And I'm able to listen to a lot of podcasts and music at the office anyway, so the main job. And I realized that when there's a day off, that certain podcasts take days off. Everyone's allowed a day off, of course. You know, I'm just Mr. Workaholic guy where I feel I always need to be recording consistently every week or put something out consistently every week. Anyways, just going through my library of podcasts, and, you know, I had to delete a lot of them, and not for the content, but because I realized I had so many on there where a lot of podcasts have, I guess, either became defunct, they stopped recording, they just gave up on it. It's a hard thing to fucking do. The weird thing is, though, it's really almost overly saturated now in podcasts, in the podcast world. It seems like everyone has a podcast now, which it wasn't necessarily like that when I jumped on, but there were a good 10,000. Now it's up to like 200,000, at least 500,000 podcasts that are out there for people to listen to. So for me to look at numbers and like, oh shit, these guys have been gone for a year. Yeah, let me delete this. Just good content. And then meeting people through Twitter mainly is how I built this. And even those people that I used to talk to a grip, like I work a grip and it takes up a lot of time to be doing as much as I do. And I just feel like I'm not as personable to people, even though I do see people chime in from like way back when we started, which is dope. Like Mike Lapine hit me up on the side the other day for one of the posts, and to chit chat with him was fucking cool. So Mike, if you're listening, dude, miss you, man. Johnson, there's a lot of you guys that I fucking miss, dude, but I just don't have, and it sounds terrible, if I don't have the time in my normal life for my best friends and or family, unfortunately, it's really hard for me to just focus on the social media as much as I used to do. That's all I really have for that. Last thing I'm going to hit is I axed this part only because I haven't done it in so long. I mean, granted, 2 weeks, I pulled up two articles. It actually was one article. It's a what the fuck news. And it's going to be one of the first, or would have been one of the first what the fuck news articles I've brought into the table. And geez, I don't even know how long. Probably since the breakup, probably since returning. I don't recall. I thought I could pull it off with the news that happened at the time. So just compiling more news and more news over the past week and a half, I'll say. I axed it. I totally axed that article. But it was about nunchucks. I know it sounds odd. And we've spoken about nunchucks before. But yeah, it's something that would have taken up probably too much time, and I'm going to kind of wing this one, not completely. It's always going to be normal structure of the show, but just to know how long I can go. And since I haven't properly recorded in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, I'm probably going to go long. All right, that's pretty much all I have. Last piece of advice, a bullet points is going to be San Diego Comic-Con confirmation. Pretty much knew ahead of time that we were going to get in. I was going to get in for San Diego Comic Con. They sent us our confirmation emails last week, so we're in. I'm getting my boy co-host RG from Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes in with me as well. So we're going to be under media and press, and we're going to get some interviews. And I can't say I've been watching more shows this year, but we're definitely going to hook up us a bunch of interviews for that. Okay, that's all I got. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate. Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. Let's see what we have. Apparently, I am going to go long after all. First piece of news is we're going to hit It. Chapter 2 may make a major change to Pennywise's origin. If you guys have seen the trailer, which dropped a full 2 weeks ago by now, hints that we may be getting a new backstory for Pennywise. So, I'm curious about it. I'm kind of glad they're changing it up a bit, and I really enjoyed part one. I'm a scary movie fanatic. Gave me the cheesy fucking B, C, D scary movies as well. I just love horror. Gave me more practical all the time over anything CGI'd or jump scares, but I can write the fuck out of actually, I'm working on writing a scary movie draft. Anyways, but yeah, give me more classic stuff like that. Especially originality, I appreciate more than anything. MCU stars Guy Pearce and Andy Serkis join FX's Christmas Carol adaptation. The story of A Christmas Carol is just dope anyways. I love the fuck out of Scrooged, and that's a comedy with Bill Murray. Any rendition I really would eat up, though. I just enjoy those. Next one's going to be Snowpiercer TV series gets a new home and season 2 order ahead of debut. Ahead of its season 1 premiere, Snowpiercer has switched networks and been renewed for a second season. I believe it's going to be on TBS TNT. Next one is going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger teases Terminator Dark Fate's first trailer, which dropped last Thursday, so close to a week ago by the time you guys hear this. I'm a fan of the Terminator world. Part 1 and Part 2, loved the fuck out of. Part 3 was iffy. I liked Terminator Salvation with Christian Bale and Homeboy. Drew a blank on Homeboy's name. But the world, the mythos, I love the fuck out of. And James Cameron is back producing on this one. And they're pretty much saying the canon of 3 on are non-existent. It's just completely non-canon. So we'll see what we have. I love Linda Hamilton anyways. Linda Hamilton, I'll say. Anyways, Curse of La Llorona screened instead of Detective Pikachu at theater. I just thought that was hilarious, and I thought I'd toss that out for any Detective Pikachu fans. Oh, I'm sorry, Pikachu fans. Next one is going to be Game of Thrones fans launch petition to remake Season 8 with new writers. I know everyone has heard about this because no one liked it, apparently. And you know what, dude? I've never seen fucking one before of Game of Thrones an episode. And I just decided to jump in on the last episode for moral support. And it wasn't good. Like, I know of the characters. I just don't know who is who exactly. It was not good. Like, even as not a fan, it wasn't good. So, I feel bad. I legit do, but sorry. I mean, hey, look at it this way. DC movies, DC Extended Universe movies, that's what they're doing. That's what Michael Bay did to me. So, I kind of feel your guys' pain completely. Next one's a B. This one's dope. John Wick 4 confirmed. Sets sight on release date. Following the success of John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, Lionsgate has confirmed John Wick Chapter 4 and announced the film's release date. This one is going to drop May 21st, 2021. I love the fuck out of John Wick, and I'm not going to spoil anything about the movie. I saw Part 3, of course, opening weekend, and I enjoyed it. There's a lot of things people might not like about it, but I really enjoy those movies, so I'm really stoked about that. And it leaves the world open to so many possibilities. Like the world of the ballet dancer. I know that sounds odd, but I mean, if you catch that small scene, anyone that has seen it, and it's still non-spoiler, is there's another world with an organization of ballet dancers that are assassins. So same world. Next one is going to be who? Masters of the Universe summons a new release date. Sony Pictures reveals a new release date for its upcoming Masters of the Universe film, which stars, and Google this guy, please, whoever's listening, Noah Centineo. I pulled up Homeboy. He looks like neither a he or a man, let alone a Masters of the Universe. And it's not that Caucasian thing. It's just that, like, Dolph Lundgren made sense for He-Man at the time in the late 90s. Oh, fuck me, no, late 80s. And I was a huge fan of Masters of the Universe and He-Man and that fucking whole thing. The way I always picture He-Man, and essentially that's exactly how he was created, is the idea behind him. Premise was, you got to think of a wrestler, a professional wrestler that's yoked out and has long hair, just some buff dude beating up on other buff dudes. And the next one's going to be DC News, Batman trailer suffers massive comment bombing on YouTube. I'm sorry, Batwoman. So Ruby Rose is going to be Batwoman. She looks great in the costume. That people do it, I don't know. I fucking hate that shit. Give it a chance. And even in saying that, this is going to be odd for me to say on several accounts. And now I'm not going to fucking go into women bashing mode right now. Report, Warner Brothers cast Robert Pattinson as the next Batman. Or has it? Robert Pattinson has reportedly been tapped to play the role of Bruce Wayne, Batman, in director Matt Reeves' upcoming DC film, The Batman, as Variety reports. Okay. It's pretty much just about confirmed, and Jim Lee was on, it was Memorial Day weekend, he was on a flight out to somewhere, he was working on his flight, and he had a bunch of things and pictures of what he was doing. He had like a Nintendo Switch out, he had his laptop out, I think his phone out, and he had something on his laptop with Robert Pattinson's picture on it. Now, okay, several things about this. I don't like it. I initially didn't like it. And it's okay for me to not like it. It's not okay for me to think this way. Just because I hate the world of Twilight. And honestly, I hate the world of Twilight. Doesn't mean I shouldn't hate this call. Like, people were talking shit on, you know, talking shit on Ben Affleck when he was cast. Honestly, people were talking shit on Michael Keaton when he was cast as Batman in 89. Like, that's a legit thing. People were talking shit like, oh, Mr. Mom's gonna be fucking Batman. That's great. And Beetlejuice is gonna fucking run wild. And for good reasons, I guess, you know. But those movies hold the fuck up. And granted, Tim Burton and his vision. But they were great movies. Him and Homeboy did great too as his Joker. Fuck me, Jack Nicholson. Almost lost his name. Fuck me, Jack Nicholson. That's the name of the title of this show. So, yeah, dude. I don't like Robert Pattinson. Now, here's the kicker to that. I don't see him as Batman. I don't see him as my Batman. I've honestly never seen him in any movies. I've never seen the Twilight movies. And even in his independent movies, I've never seen him in anything. So, it's kind of really hard for me to judge Homeboy just on his looks alone, just because he's a good-looking guy with, you know, I don't know. He just looks like he has a glass jaw and are Batman. I know it sounds weird, but under the cowl, you need a strong jaw. It looks like he has a glass jaw. He could possibly pull it off. I've heard his acting chops are good. And again, it's hard for me to judge this because just on the look alone, I would say no. And because I hate the Twilight world, I would say no, but you know what? Fuck it. It's going to happen, and I'm just going to have to roll with it. So I hope he does good. That's the most we can hope for ever, really, especially if it's DC Extended Universe. You know what? Game of Thrones fans, that's my pain right there. Next one is going to be, you know, I'm still going to keep it comic-centric. Batman. Tom King, he's the current writer of Batman right now, promises to change the Dark Knight for a generation, quote-unquote. Writer Tom King said that an upcoming Batman storyline could change the iconic hero for a generation or even longer. While King didn't offer any clues as to what the change would be, King admitted that he was surprised that he was allowed to tell this story. This is his quote. I never thought we'd get to this kind of stuff approved. We'd get this kind of stuff approved. When you're working with the corporate character, you think you're going to have to reset. But this is a change that's going to shake the world of Batman, and it's going to leave my mark on the character. I believe he was just signed on to do 102 or 3 issues of Batman proper. And he says, these 15 issues will seemingly mark the crescendo of King's deconstruction of the Dark Knight after the upcoming City of Bane storyline, which promises to delve into uncharacteristically vulnerable Batman after being left at the altar by Catwoman in the controversial Batman number 50. As King explained, City of Bane is set to begin in July with Batman number 75. And the story and its aftermath are set to span 13 issues. If you've been reading Batman all this time, God bless you, but I've been torturing you for the last 6 months to a year, King said. We've reached the low point. Now it's time for Batman to come back and show you why he's Batman. Maybe that won't be in the traditional way, but it'll show you why Batman matters. Tom King, I love the fuck out of his writing. I trust the fuck out of Tom King, and a lot of people did bitch about the Bat-Cat wedding, and that was a beautiful issue. The thing Tom King has done to the Batman, or to Batman, that no one has really done, is he's really broken Batman, Bruce Wayne, as a character, like, emotionally, physically, mentally. He broke up his Bat family, like, it's fucked up, and that's why he said, I've been torturing you with what I've been doing to Batman, and it's fucked up, and it's beautiful, because we know Batman can fucking handle it, so, it's beautiful. This is the only bummer news, and this one dropped, while I was in San Diego, I believe. King, leaving Batman by the end of 2019. Now, trip out. Following the rumors that Batman writer Tom King would be prematurely ending his run on the title with issue number 85, he had a full arc, a full 100. He was going to go up to 103 or 104, and that was going to be his full run. Like, that was his story he wanted to tell. 85 now is going to be his last issue. CBR has confirmed that the writer is in fact leaving the series. However, this is not the end of his work with the publisher as a whole. A DC source told CBR that King is leaving the series by the end of 2019 and is currently working to ensure City of Bane is his biggest Batman story ever. We have also learned that King has several new unannounced projects planned for DC this year and next. DC will release more details on them in the coming months. And one of them has actually going back to how far he was supposed to go. He was supposed to go up to 105 issues. He's leaving after 85, but one of the announcements was he's going to write a 12-story arc story straight up of it's going to be its ongoing series or limited series. It's going to be a 12-issue arc or storyline, and it's going to be Batman and Catwoman. We don't know the details besides that, although I think Clay Mann is going to be the artist on that. So that's all I got. Okay, now we're going to hit some Marvel news, DC news. DC's Mulan might have a record high budget for the studio. The Jungle Book and Beauty and the Beast costing the studio roughly $170 million to $255 million. Mulan could exceed $290 million in 2018. Marvel Studios' Avengers Endgame cost more than $350 million. So I guess for the live action, that's the highest they're willing to go or try. All right, this one's going to be interesting. I'm going to pull back the curtains a little bit for you guys on an upcoming deep dives and rabbit holes that we have planned. Black Panther's Chadwick Boseman cast as lead in samurai film Yosuke. I believe I'm saying it right. I'm probably bashing it. Black Panther star Chadwick Boseman will play the role in a film based on a real-life African samurai, Yosuke. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is going to hit this. So if they have barely cast him in the role now, we really want to just deep dive it and like, holy shit, let's give you some more details before the movie comes out. So yeah, thought it was interesting. What else do we have? I think I'm going to hit some reviews. Avengers Endgame beats Avatar at the domestic box office. I was hoping that would happen. Avengers Endgame has surpassed James Cameron's Avatar at the domestic box office, but still has a way to go to claim the global record, which I should have pulled up that numbers, but I believe it also passed its initial run. All right, guys, I wanted this one to be very Bat-centric just because I love the fuck out of Batman. And I'm going to go over a quick run of Batman number 55. Through number 57. Tom King is the writer, Tony Daniels the artist, Mark Buckingham's the inker. So just the relationship between, we have Dick Grayson, Nightwing, and Bruce Wayne, and how Dick Grayson is always there for Bruce. But what happens if something were to happen to Dick? How far or unhinged would that make an already distraught Batman? So that actually happens. So they're on a mission, and pretty much Nightwing gets sniped back of the head. Granted, he's wearing his domino mask, but he doesn't have much protection. He gets shot, and he lives, but he loses his memory. Batman's pissed, so he goes after the villain that did it. And it's a great story. Again, going back to Tom King writing and putting Batman through so much shit. We just see what Batman does. He pushes farther, and he's just walking in his bat costume in a huge winter storm. As we see him finally, actually we see glimpses now of KGB's life, or KG Beast's life, as we see how ruthless this guy is. He's a trained murderer and mercenary that knows how to disappear. So now we see Batman venture again through this crazy snowstorm to finally get to this little cabin where they quickly go to work on each other. They start kicking each other's ass. They pull out all the stops, jacking each other up. They're both fighting dirty, not just using their both unorthodox styles, but completely fighting dirty. And with Batman ending the fight in a really fucked up way that we really haven't seen Batman use before. And we see him use his grappling hook at point blank range. And the effects it has on KG Beast now. And it pretty much just fucks him up. I believe he hits him under the chin. So you got to think the weight and pressure of a man and the way he uses his grappling gun all the time. So the pressure, just everything, it looked really gnarly. As they're both laying in the snow now, completely fucked up. My neck is broken. Yeah. If you get me help, I will tell you who hired me to kill your boy. As we see Batman bloodied up and jacked up. I got a bullet in my arm and a body of hurt. There's a 300 click walk ahead of me. Through nothing but snow and ice. I'm the world's greatest detective. I'll find out who hired you. And I will break them too. You can get your own damn help. Again, what Tom King has been putting him through, it's just fucked up. So now we see that it ends pretty much there. Issue number 58 is pretty much Tom King, Mikal Jini, and Jordy Belair start with men apologizing to Penguin for a death. As we now see Penguin at Arkham Asylum, where he gets dressed up for a particular visitor. The one person that's been pulling the strings since the beginning of Tom King's run, which is I Am Bane. Since the beginning, he's the one fucking with Bruce Wayne, Batman, the whole time. And he has a visitor companion with him as well. And it's Batman. I know that sounds odd, but it is the Flashpoint Batman. So the Flashpoint Batman is actually Thomas Wayne, Bruce Wayne's dad, I'm sorry. If it's in another multiverse, so if Bruce Wayne as a young boy and his mom would have died in Crime Alley, instead of what happened, Thomas Wayne would have gone nuts. He would have became Batman, but a Batman that kills. And it's weird, because they have a good relationship, Batman and this Flashpoint Batman. So I'm just like, who the hell is that one? And you can see who it is. So now it's odd to see this sort of groveling or even possibly respect. But it's either way, it's odd to see what Penguin, how he is amongst him, like amongst Bane. Like no one wants to fuck with Bane. It's just really weird. Anyways, as it now jumps to pages and panels now to the funeral, where we see only one man in attendance. And we see who it is exactly that passed away. And it happens to be Penny Cobblepot. I'll go there. Where after a few panels, we see his goons now along with him asking him what the next job is. Which is nuts to see now, because I realized by this point in the comic that he wasn't necessarily groveling in the beginning, but he was legit scared of Bane. And he's like, are we going to off Wayne? No, nothing that dramatic. We just have to kill Wayne's manservant. That way we don't get punished as well. So it's just really cool to see this side of Bruce Wayne and how they break him and how Bane is just going nuts, the things he's doing now. Next issue, 59, he goes to visit Bane at Arkham Asylum. and he's in like a catatonic state, like a veggie state, and he starts beating the shit out of Bane. Commissioner Gordon happens to be there. The cops show up and they're like, you're not going to do this. You already fucked him up. He's a vegetable because of you. He's like, no, he's pulling the strings. Or he ends up even lashes out at the cops. He's like, if you guys want to do it, you know it's not going to end well for you guys. Commissioner Gordon even tries to intervene. And they're friends. He gets pissed and even slugs Commissioner Gordon just so he can get answers out of Bane. And still beating the shit out of him. As we see Bane in just this, again, fucked up vegetable state. So to see how far Bruce Wayne has lost it and how unhinged Homeboy really is just really fucking cool. I'm going to finish up the runs of Batman with Tom King over the next few months. But I love the fuck out of Tom King. If you guys don't know his work, just hit up, I believe it's Batman Rebirth number one. That's when he started on Batman and his Swamp Thing story was great last year. Pick up Tom King. If you want to see his old stuff, Sheriff of Babylon is a great DC Vertigo title. Mr. Miracle is gorgeous, and it's a beautiful fucked up story. And even Vision, his last work he did with Marvel, is dope. Those are worth checking out, guys. All right, this next few ones I'm going to hit are going to be Star Wars Vader, Dark Visions number 2. Dennis Hopeless is a writer, and Brian Lovell is the artist. Jordan Boyd is the inker. Honestly, the art in this one was not so great. I did review issue number 1 a few months ago, and I believe it's going to be a 5-issue just quick storyline. It's just really cool to see this issue, though. The fear Vader instills in his galactic empire. And you kind of see like the revolving door theory and aspect behind it. Like, pay attention to the movies. Like, you know your job fucking sucks. Because you know if you get a promotion, you're pretty fucked. The first time you fuck up on the job, that's it. Like, you're out. Like, you're completely out. So we see some guy that, he sees his whole crew get murdered, force choked by Vader because he failed a mission. And he's like, Vader tells him, you better make sure you don't fuck up. So this whole issue is this commander on one of the Star Destroyers freaked out because he salvages one part of the mission, but he let an escapee get away. And Vader's like, okay, cool. I'm on my way to your ship. And this guy goes into full panic mode. And he does everything to complete his mission, to complete his job, because he knows Vader's on his way. He's like, I'm fucked. And essentially, he's fucked. The art's not the best in it, but it was an interesting story, and I did enjoy it. This one is a new artist, but still, Star Wars, Vader, Dark Visions number 3, Dennis Hopeless is still the writer, David Lopez and Javi Pina are the artists. Jordan Boyd is the inker. This one, we get something completely different that we never see with Vader. And this one is Admiration. As a woman working now as a doctor's assistant on one of the Star Destroyers, she's a doctor's assistant, is completely infatuated with Vader. So she watches him and she just totally gawks at him and obsessed over this dude, where she even has like these odd daydreams about him. And this is an interesting story because there are two artists on this one for a particular reason. Like, the artist of the proper title does a great job, but her infatuated daydreams is the other artist. And it looks beautiful and it looks odd and it looks romanticized, like how crazy this broad is for Vader. So now she's stumbling now, clumsily running late as she walks in on an appointment that Vader had with the real doctor. Where she enters and she kind of sees him like with his helmet half off. And the main doctor just starts flipping out on this woman. So then we see Vader flip out now. And she thinks this to herself as this is going down. He starts chewing out the doctor. He starts destroying the lab. And her inner monologue is, it was my mistake 100%. He punished the doctor instead. Protected me. Couldn't bring himself to hurt me. Why didn't I see it before? He's lonely, just like me. Kindred spirits drawn together by fate. He'll protect me always. And it continues on. The doctor likes to brag that he's closer to Lord Vader than any other soul in the galaxy, save for the Emperor himself. Calls their relationship intimate. And it is, I suppose, by necessity. Secretly, he hates it. Keeps him up at night. So it's just cool to see like this inner monologue she has going on. And again, Cocoa Puffs. how can you be in love with the most vicious man in the galaxy, kind of? Where the next few pages now, we see how twisted this woman, this broad, really is. And we see her collection. Literal pieces of Vader. And I know it sounds odd, but let me explain. It's Vader losing himself. But like, not just his humanity. And it's kind of dark and it is kind of twisted. But we see every time he visits this doctor on the ship, he's losing his body. Little by little, so completely losing himself. He's becoming more machine than man. And you see little pieces of him or like broken cybernetic fingers that she's gained and collected. Vials of his blood. Like how infatuated, how crazy, how Cocoa Puffs is this broad. But again, just dark twisted. And I like dark and twisted. Next up, we see Vader now coming back from a mission. Just jacked up, fucked up. And he didn't see the doctor for immediate help. As we see her infatuation for him kick back again. And that's where the other artist kicks in again. And in this panel, it's a dope page. It looks pretty. I mean, the art's pretty. My lord, you're injured. And Vader's just like, I'm fine. As we see how Vader really is. And now we see, you know, this bubble pop of her in her head. And the doctor says, Lord Vader, please, you must let me finish. Vader says, you had ample time. The doctor says, a patch job at best. We are done here. I am needed in battle. And it's just dope to see Vader. He's got to go to work, dude. And he's a fighter. And he's like, fuck, just patch me up real quick because I had to get back the fuck out there. Just love those. So even though I haven't had much time, even at San Diego, I didn't want to work. I had a great time. It was a much needed vacation. So thank you so much. And it was restful. It was a lot of walking. It was beautiful. I had a great time. It was a beautiful, sunny weekend. So yeah, I enjoyed it and I loved it. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Share the podcast more than anything. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Again, every time I review something, it just feels like something in my life where it's like, that makes sense. So my knee is not 100% yet still, and I haven't been able to run yet, but I'm getting there. I just needed a quick patch-up job and had to go back to work, all five of them. All right, guys, share the podcast more than anything. Again, I will catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. San Diego Comic Con, I'm going to have info for you guys for that. All right, fuck it. That's all I got. Peace out.
What's up, guys? This is Shola Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai. This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!